Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Happy National I Love You Day. I love you, Ben. I love you, Paul.
Love you, too.
I love you, Tier Ones.
Love you, guys.
Love you. It's hard. You can say that now, finally.
You
after
can.
8 years. No, you can. I've always been able to. I've always been able to say it. You can finally say it. I love you.
I love you.
Look at you. You looked away.
I can't look at you in the eyes.
You can't. Come on.
He's like, I
love you too.
Love you.
Love you. He begrudgingly does, though.
Better than just saying thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Love
me,
you.
Me too.
I said I love you. Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah, I heard you.
Heard you.
You ever tell a girl you love her and she didn't say it back?
I don't think so.
I think I did it in, I think it happened in like ninth grade. And she hit me with, like, thanks.
Thanks.
Like, well, aww.
Y'all, thanks. You're the sweetest. I'm so lucky to have you as a friend.
Like a brother.
Yeah, you're like a brother to me. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think of you like my sister, so this is going to be a problem for me moving forward. Yeah, these kids, they wouldn't survive that. Like, my kids, that will probably never happen to them because they'll never say it. They'll just text it, right? I-L-Y-S-M. I love you so much. Yeah. Yeah, they'll never have to actually say it. My wife gets mad when I say love you instead of I love you.
Without the I.
She gets furious.
Really?
She'll go, I love you. I go, love you.
Love you.
And she gets furious. She's I love you.
I'm like, I do sometimes worry about oversaying it. Like, was it going to lose meaning? If you, at the end of every phone conversation... You always have to throw it in for your spouse?
I like, do, everyone. I think
sometimes
so.
I feel like that overdoes it and it loses its meaning. You hold on to it for special occasions.
I never thought of it like that. I think now it's just a habit.
Right. Is it mean anything if it's just a habit, though? If you're trying to make that phrase mean something and turning it into a habit.
What do you get? What do you allow yourself? 6, 7 a year? Like, what do you, how do you allocate? Like, how many you
I
do?
I mean, I do think about such things. Like, yeah, what's the right ratio? Once a week?
Yeah, you need therapy for sure. That's just the fact that you think about these things means you need therapy ASAP. Go ahead.
Or does everybody else need to be thinking about these things too?
No.
It's always good to evaluate.
It's always good to tell somebody you love them. It's never a bad thing. Never has anyone gone, oh, God, I wish they wouldn't tell me that they loved me. I hate hearing that.
Have you ever been in an argument, but at the end, you still say
oh,
it
yeah.
at the end?
Yeah. More so now than used to. Yeah. Used to be, I hate you. Now it's, you know what, I do love you. Should figure this out. Yeah. Interesting stuff, Benny.
All right, we'll get back to some more baseball, but first, let's get some headlines that we've missed so far. It is time for the Rondle Report.
And get things started here with our... edition, today's edition oh, of boy. The Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's the Rindle Report. It is brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. Gentlemen, let's go chronologically here. No Rindle Report yesterday. Skipped it with the Schilt news dropping at 9 a.m., but pretty massive college football story from over the weekend. James Franklin out at Penn State. He had been there for 12 seasons, which I knew he'd been there a while.
I didn't know it was that long.
That surprises me, too. 12 seasons.
Yeah. I thought he was there for like four.
I had a buddy that played for him at Vanderbilt before Penn State, and I started doing the math. I'm like, yeah, that was like 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. I'm like, yeah, I guess it's been 12 years that he has been running things at Penn State, and the school announced after their loss to Northwestern on Saturday, their starting quarterback went down for the year with an injury. It was their second straight loss, I believe, and things were just not going well.
0-3 in the Big Ten, man.
Yeah, Penn State decided to pull the plug, and what's fascinating, I guess, was shocking, is the money. James Franklin is still owed just over $49 million on his contract.
It's the best gig on the planet.
Yeah, that's going to be the second biggest buyout in college football history. We talked a couple of years ago. It was Jimbo Fisher, $76 million from Texas A&M.
God!
But James Franklin going to get paid $50 million
to
not work.
Is it really that competitive that if they didn't give these guys 76 million guaranteed buyouts that, oh, I guess I'm going to go somewhere else? I mean, these are self-inflicted contracts by college football programs.
It's like they have money to burn.
Are they that desperate, though? Are the agents for these college coaches so good that going, I'll just take them next door and they'll give me the $50 million guarantee that you won't?
Let's try
they're
that.
All terrified.
Let's try that on our next contract.
they're all terrified. This to me, though. I mean, James Franklin did good things with that program. It was in a bad spot after Joe Paterno, but in 12 years, can you remember any giant Penn State wins?
I can remember one giant Penn State loss last year. Made my day.
What's shocking, though, is one month ago today, Penn State was number 2 in the country,
yes.
Undefeated. San Diego State was coming off a 36-13 loss to Washington State. 1 month later, the Aztecs are getting more votes in the top 25 poll than the Nittany Lions are. Didn't get a single vote in the top 25 this week, and the Aztecs got two.
As they mentioned, this is not a this season problem. This is a trajectory that we are on. He is now 4-21 against top 10 opponents.
Oof.
1-18 against top 10 Big Ten teams is not easy.
But that
to
didn't
say.
Get him fired. Losing to UCLA and Northwestern got him fired.
160 winning percentage against AP top teams is tied for the third worst record by a coach at a single school since the poll era began in 1936. It's amazing they took this long. And again, you look at the preseason rankings, everybody had him at number 2. They didn't factor into the fact that this guy is allergic to winning big games. Got pretty mouthy with my coach, Marcus Freeman, about joining a conference, and I didn't forget that. Neither did Coach Freeman. Well, listen, at the end of the day, who's the winner? James Franklin. He does not have to coach at Penn State anymore, and he has $49 million coming his way. What's a better gig than that? Sit
no
on your
kidding.
Ass, and here's $49 million. Sit on your ass. Do nothing. You can still go coach.
Yeah.
If somebody hired him tomorrow, he still gets his 49. It's not a non-compete.
No, it's offset. So if he like made $1 million, he'd only get 48 from
amazing.
Penn State.
I'll take the $1 million.
Technically, he does have to look for work. That's part of the agreement. So
you should see how much LinkedIn I did today. I'm going to need my check. I'll send you over the emails I sent out. What do you want? Man, that's nuts. 49.
Insane.
To do nothing. Yeah. They really make you go look for a job?
Yeah. No, it's usually there's offset language in those contracts that when you get hired somewhere else.
I thought it was guaranteed.
It's guaranteed, but not just the buyout.
They don't give you a chunk?
If another school gives you $10 million a year, that comes off your Penn State money. They don't have to pay you. You don't get to double dip.
I almost thought it's like
double
dipping
would be elite.
I know they're paying you because that's what both parties agreed to pay.
Right.
But it feels more like it's like almost like a non-compete. Like, we're going to pay you this money, but you don't go coach against us now.
No, but they can.
They can.
But then they just
the
get
money's
offset.
Offset.
And then
the money,
I saw Andrew Brand actually was explaining that. Yeah. Coaches actually do have to go and look for work.
Dominic
it's very
says,
hard to it's very hard to prove.
Dominic says, look for work. Open the window. Look outside.
No work.
No work out there.
Couldn't get a job today.
Man.
What is the mom saying? Stepbrothers. He's holding out for
upper management
position.
That's in vacation, yeah.
Oh, it's vacation.
I think he made the point, like, he could take a job as a TV analyst, like, $100,000 for the college football season, and like, oh, that doesn't offset much. So then they'd owe me $48,900,000 instead of $49 million, and he still gets to be in college football. So he may do something like that.
Right, that's your college football big story from the weekend. Last night, had a couple of baseball games. Also had a couple of Monday night football games. Did not watch any of the Bears and Commanders game. The Chicago Bears won 25-24. Scoregami, but definitely an odd score. Yep. Total 25-24. Bears move to 3-2-1. No, 3-2 on the season, excuse me. And then the Bills, that was the shocker. They lost to the Falcons last night in Atlanta. The Falcons taking down Buffalo 24-14.
Falcons play here.
They jumped out to a pretty early lead and just never looked back in that one.
Bijan Robinson, 170 yards, 81 yard touchdown in that game. Who's good in the NFL this year?
Who's a good football team?
I had this conversation last night. Is Tampa Bay the best team in football right now?
If you look at the entire league standings, the top two teams out of 32 are the Indianapolis
Colts, obviously, as we all pick,
and the Tampa Bay Bucks, 5-1 with an .833.
Are those the two
percentage.
Best? Are we ready to believe that the Colts and the Bucks are the two best teams in football right now?
I like
now?
The chaos, man. I'm here for it. I think that's great.
I'm a big fan of Baker Mayfield.
It sorts by winning percentage, I'll read them off rapid fire. Colts, Bucks, Steelers, Packers, Chargers. That's your top five.
Wow.
49ers, Patriots, Eagles, Bills.
I was listening to the Ravens game the other day, driving home from baseball. They may be the worst team in NFL history based on what I was hearing on the call. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
And they're 1-5.
Bro. 1-5. No one had that. Nobody had that.
They got decimated with injuries, and it's just, that's not
feels
their
like
year.
This is a good year to put some money on long shots to win the Super Bowl, because I don't see any team is standing out right now from the pack in the NFL.
Not really.
The Colts. Everybody's 5-1.
Daniel Jones. Quarterback. I just can't see Jonathan Taylor is a good running back.
Yeah.
They call him Indianapolis Jones. It's fantastic.
It's great. Are
they
Indianapolis Jones is amazing.
That's really good. I hadn't heard that
really
one.
Really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh,
I thought you'd like that. All right. And then finally, gentlemen, this is another story that we would have gotten to yesterday in normal circumstances. Didn't have it, so we'll get to it today. A shout out to her family. From over the weekend, I was very shocked to see that Diane Keaton passed away.
So sad.
On Saturday, at just 79 years old. No word yet on the cause of death. I don't know if that's been updated or not. But everyone that seemed to know her and talked, whether it was to TMZ, People Magazine, whatever. Oh, beloved. But
beloved.
The people that were close to her, even like it was fairly unexpected. Like. Mm. I read somewhere that she just has been like living out in Palm Springs, hasn't been feeling too hot, and
you know what?
To whatever she.
I don't even need to know.
I don't either.
I don't have that desire to know. I don't think it was something nefarious, would be my guess.
People Magazine reported that her health declined rapidly over the last few months.
She's almost 80.
Yeah. What's the age at which it's no longer really relevant?
75.
After 75 or so?
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but we had this on Channel 10 last night. She was a major supporter of the Helen Woodward Animal Center. Was on their board of directors and did a lot of publicity and was just an absolute animal lover.
I love it.
For her whole life and supported that organization and rescue of animals fully. So I thought that was really cool.
Favorite Diane Keaton movie?
I'm trying to remember. What are some of my choices here?
Godfather. She was fantastic in The Godfather.
I don't know why I don't think of
First
that as
Wives
a Diane
Club.
Keaton movie, but she
well,
is
I don't
it.
Either, but she's phenomenal in it.
Right.
And you know, want to talk about like not only holding your own amongst one of the best cast ever.
Yeah.
Father of the Bride is
that's
elite.
A good one. Yeah.
She's elite in that.
I really like Something's Gotta Give.
So good. Jack Nicholson.
Keanu
These
Reeves.
Are movies that like my parents watched back then, and I was like, I kinda like this movie. she was spectacular.
Family Stone.
I saw that. I can't remember.
The holiday season.
It was a dark
movie.
Period for me.
I will say, Woody Allen, I've never liked any really of his movies at all.
Same. not for me.
And now I feel good about that decision.
Me too. I feel like I feel like I was on the right side of history with the old Woody Allen choices that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, you know how you know we do things on this show.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty.
She was a jester. She wore a lot of the tie. Like, she made girls wearing ties. Cool.
Like, business
she had awesome
business
style.
Suits. Yeah. Yeah. Very attractive. Very attractive. Always
saw Reese Witherspoon was talking to some group of people, and it was right like the day after Diane Keaton passed away. They were very close. She talked about working with her as like a 14-year-old trying to break into the industry, and Diane Keaton goes, "Is that accent real?" Because she's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You are the sweetest little thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking you under my wing." And she just said, "Live like Diane. Just be kind, be genuine, and wear something weird but awesome."
Yeah.
Like, she had a fun style.
She did. She did. That's one I saw. I was like, oh, kind of got me.
Yeah.
Redford and Diane Keaton in the span of like 2 months. Terrible.
Thank you, Pauly. Speaking of shout-out to his family, I also wanted to mention a baseball loss that was announced yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Someone I remember well from my youth, Sandy Alomar Sr., who was the third base coach of the San Diego Padres in the late 1980s. And I just remember, you always kind of remember the third base coach when you're a kid, and watching him wave runners around. And of course, the father of both Sandy Alomar Jr. and Roberto Alomar passed away yesterday. He's really considered Puerto Rican baseball royalty, you know, the first, the patriarch of that family. And from everything I've heard, very gentle and kind man who passed away yesterday at the age of 81. So wanted to throw out, Pauly, if you don't mind, one more on the other side of it. Shout out to his family.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult.
It's true.
So, shout out to his family.
You were a Yankees fan growing up. Who was the third base coach?
Ooh.
I don't know why. I just remember him so distinctly. Is it just me? Remembers the third base coach of my childhood team?
Yeah, I think so.
I even remember like Manny Mota of the Dodgers and like the other team's third base coaches
remember.
As well. I don't know why
when
it was so significant
year,
in my mind.
I didn't start watching baseball until I was like 10.
Yeah.
I remember like the entire starting lineup,
but not the third.
But
base
I don't remember
coach.
The third base.
Yeah,
coach.
I remember all the players. I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, I could go around like Mike Pagliarulo, Alvaro Espinosa, Willie Randolph, Don Mattingly. You know, I could do that. Like those are the games. That's when I fell in love with the game. But I can't remember for the life of me.
I can tell you.
I don't even know who the skipper was, if I'm being honest.
I can tell you like the 95.
Stump Merrill, maybe? I have no idea.
95, 97 Mariners teams led by Lou Piniella. Couldn't tell you who the hitting coach was.
No.
Pitching coach.
No.
First base, third base coach. No idea.
I don't remember that. He was Pod's third base coach,
yeah.
though? Yeah.
For several years.
Yeah.
All right, don't forget, we are working our way toward A.J. Preller's appearance at the top of the hour here on 97.3 The Fan. All guests on 97.3 The Fan appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We didn't really give it enough time. I want to revisit yesterday's Brewers-Dodgers Game 1 of the NLCS.
Yep.
The decisions by Dave Roberts that nearly cost his team the game in the ninth inning, but now where the Dodgers stand going into game two, and is there any way to derail their train to the World Series again?
No.
Get to all of that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
First, though, Woods and I would like to talk about our favorite place to play cards in San Diego, 7 Mile Casino. I told the story many times. Had not really heard much about 7 Mile Casino when we were first introduced to it over 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was a little skeptical. Like, really? This is going to be a card room, right? It's not going to be that nice. Then we walked in the first time, and
I
was blown away.
Like, yeah, we had a lunch.
It's fantastic.
We had a lunch, and we ended up going back there later with the wives, and it was a blast. And it remains a blast to this day. They will take good care of you at 7 Mile Casino. Many of our Tier 1s make the short drive down the 5 to Chula Vista. And, man, again, California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, Pie Gown, Baccarat, got you covered. And no slot machines, just a good place to go.
have a great time.
If you're going for a great time, but if you're a serious card player, they take care of you well. High limit action at the Texas Hold'em tables, at the California style blackjack tables. Good dealers who know what they're doing. And they'll take care of you at the table. 35% off food from Sammy's while you're playing. And that food is fantastic and available 24/7 with that 24/7 players menu. Check it out today. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep seeing these ideas in the chat. Andy in the chat says, Mike Schilt is definitely coaching again. He's taking some time, but I don't think he's done. They only said it was due to his health, so it didn't look like Preller had to move on again from another manager. Again,
it's an interesting theory.
Why would Mike Schilt cooperate with that, though? Why would he walk away from money and 2 years only just so A.J. Preller could save some face?
Right. And again,
he has no obligation to do that.
And again, you know, he talked to Dennis Lind and he said on the record, I walked away. I did not take a buyout or any sort of money.
Unless you're a giant conspiracy theory and you think that they have given Mike Schilt like millions extra to just say he is walking away
right.
and retiring from the game. In which case, that would be, I would think, a giant scandal in Major League Baseball if that ever came out.
Yeah.
But that just doesn't follow. The facts just don't fit that narrative. It seems as though Mike Schilt is making this decision on his own.
And again, like if he goes back and coaches at some point, I don't know that it will be in the manager's spot. Because again, if you're, I don't want to sound callous at all, Benny, but... would you be reluctant to hire Mike Schilt?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes.
Not for another role.
Not for another role.
Knowing the toll managing took on him.
Correct.
I wouldn't feel right about
it. Nor would I.
We were skeptical when the Padres hired him. I mean, you at least were like,
because
why did
St.
Louis just
correct.
Fire him after three
it's
successful
exactly right.
seasons?
And I think it was a fair question then.
So now I'm just saying that's going to add even more.
I would think, like I said earlier... He may join another organization in another role, and at some point, if like he's in that organization and they're desperate for a manager, maybe that would be his only avenue toward returning. But I don't see him being hired by a team through an interview
process.
He'll
have a fungo in his hand at a spring training facility
soon
in March.
Yeah, somebody said if they do expand into Charlotte, what a perfect fit, 100%. Carolina boy, man, through and through. But I think if you really play it forward, why would you say it if it wasn't true? To save face? Well, if you didn't take any money, are you really saving face? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he really said, because I put myself in those shoes, right? Woodsy, we want to go in a different direction. Okay. I got 2 years left on my deal. So cut me a check and appreciate it. And that's it.
Right.
And I walk out the door. Not let's concoct a story that I'm really frazzled mentally, and I'm just going to leave the money, and then you guys can go get another manager, and I'll just leave empty-handed.
Especially in a business where it's incredibly common for teams to move on.
Right.
It's not some sort
and again,
of giant
was,
stain that it didn't
the,
work out.
What was the point you made earlier?
One-third of the managers in baseball are gone after every year.
Because Paulie said... Something to the effect of reading the letter yesterday. You know, there are little things that you can look at and pick up these nuggets and, you know, Easter eggs that you think you may find. But if... I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Schilty walking away He didn't. In reading that letter, I didn't get the sense that Mike Schilt feels like this is what he wanted. That's what I get when I read that letter, right? And it doesn't help the Padres at all. John Seidler did the letter to the fans, and he said, we're doing a investigation and a deep dive, and we're going to make some changes. Him walking away and retiring, so to speak, doesn't give the Padres a pass. Like, they didn't say, see, we made the changes that we promised you we would to go out and win another World Series championship. Does that make sense? It's a long-winded way of saying that, like, the Padres didn't do anything here. They're not correcting any mistake. He quit. They're not correct. They didn't come to this conclusion and say he's out of a job, or they would have fired him. Does that make sense?
Right. I think the Padres need to reflect on
what got him so.
If they were contributing to an atmosphere that caused Mike Schilt to deteriorate in two seasons as manager, because you don't want to keep putting managers through that. If there's something you can change that makes it, a better place, more supportive place to work. But, I don't feel like Mike Schilt was unsupported as manager of the Padres either.
But we don't know. I mean, we don't know. I feel supported, but I have no idea. You want to think that? I have no idea. I have no idea. But again, this isn't some big, we told you guys we were going to drop the hammer and make some changes. And it's like, well, not really. The Padres don't really get credit for that, for dropping the hammer and making changes if Mike Schilt did, in fact, walk away and leave the money on his own, right?
I think coaches don't want to coach prima donnas like Machado and Tatis in our chat. I couldn't disagree more. I think one of Mike Schilt's favorite parts of the job
was coaching
guys like Machado and Tatis.
Fernando Tatis.
I mean,
it's just the most tired.
It's probably the hardest thing for him to walk away from are guys like Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. Loved working with those guys. Absolutely loved it.
Yep.
I just have to keep fighting against that narrative because, I don't know everything that's going on, but we cover it on a daily basis pretty closely.
That's so tired.
And we talk to enough people that I think we would know if that was the case. And that's just not the case in the Padres organization. The players, it's a good group of players.
Yep.
They've finally found a really good group of players that get along in the clubhouse. It's a good place to be for the most part. That's not it. A player's mutiny. These are players that are difficult to deal with. That's not the case at all with the San Diego Padres.
It's just tired. It's just exhausting. It's an exhausting narrative. And until they win a championship, unfortunately, that's going to be the narrative. And I think they know that, I think they know that. But, you're talking about one guy that kills himself to be in the lineup 158 games. The other guy that threw up 6 WAR this year, that is one of the most dynamic players. Yeah, you don't like his body language all the time. But I promise you, if he was striking out 3 times a game and smiling, you'd have a problem with that, too. They're never going to – it's the only way to bust that narrative, Ben, is to hoist the World Series the trophy over their head and be on a parade.
And I believe the Padres are one of the franchises that are in position to do so.
Correct.
But there's always going to be, 6 to 10 teams every year that are in position to do so. Guess what? Only one of them actually does it at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, again, it will be there until it's not, and you'll be a crappy leader until you win one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the way that it goes.
Can anyone dethrone the Dodgers, though, as they are now 7 wins away from their second consecutive World Series title? We'll wrap things up, talk about that, and preview Game 2 of the NLCS coming up in our final segment of Ben and Woods next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. Last chance today, though, for Woods and I to tell you about TrustandWill.com. Trust and Will has taken the process of estate documents out of the lawyer's office and put the power into your hands right at your computer fingertips, where you can fill out in less than an hour real estate documents, a will or a trust that can take care of your family should something happen to you.
That's exactly right. Go to TrustandWill.com. Use the code RADIO20. For your trust and will, and trust or will. And again, trustandwill.com, code is radio20. Get that peace of mind that is hard to find in life, but this is one of those things that you absolutely have to do if you have a family. Make sure that all of your wishes, all of your needs are met. And it's very simple to do, and they walk you through it. It's exactly what I needed. Trust and will.com.
And that code Radio 20 is going to get you 20% off your trust or your will.
That's right.
When you fill it out, it's it would be much more expensive to do this through a real lawyer's office, but these documents are just as good as those. You know, especially for most of us, you know, we've got some possessions that we want to leave to our loved ones. We may have some property or 401ks that we want to make sure that our families have access to without going through probate court. That's what you can do with a trust. So do it today. Be the responsible person in your family. Go to trustandwill.com. Use code Radio20 at checkout at trustandwill.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt, are you upset by the recent death that just happened? Breaking news.
Another one.
Legendary soul singer D'Angelo has passed away at the age of 51.
Can't say I am familiar with D'Angelo. How I remember D'Angelo Jimenez, Padres infielder. Beverly D'Angelo from Christmas Vacation and movies like that. But just D'Angelo?
I went to high school with D'Angelo Davis.
D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell, yeah. Just D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. Paul, you know him?
Heard of him. Probably have heard a song, but...
Did this insane...
You were playing something during the break. I'm like, okay, that sounds
Did this insane video for How Does It Feel? He's all nude and just yoked.
All nude.
He's all nude. And it was just this video. You're like... Wow, like you're on stage, like on camera, and you're just nude.
What is it?
It's called How Does It Feel? It was like the best makeout song ever. Ever when I was younger.
Oh, yeah, he's just completely.
Completely.
In his birthday suit.
Nude. Like me at the spa on Saturday. Different
looking.
Feels
like they couldn't play that on television very
much. They did.
They did.
Yeah, they did play it. It was just kind of. I think it was like blurred out.
No. Pixelated.
Yeah. Man, he was really talented. 51 years old. That's unbelievable.
Pancreatic cancer.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's like the worst one.
That is.
Do we have to Paulie again?
Yeah, we have to hit it again.
We've been doing it a lot this hour.
I know, it's tough, dude.
And I really hope we can see more.
He's worthy.
Unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So... Shout out to his family.
Shredded abs, just like us. Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, I could listen to that.
All day long.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nice. Very nice. Sorry.
So,
I like how he just starts naming all the sports people he knows with this. D'Angelo. I remember this guy. Who is it?
D'Angelo Jimenez.
Jimenez, right. Yeah. Padres infielder.
Padres infielder.
There was this whole other world outside of
sports. I didn't live that world. You know me. I didn't live
missed,
that world.
You missed all of it.
All right, let's check traffic, and then we'll get back to the NLCS and sports to wrap up the show here next on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, we're about 15 minutes away from A.J. Preller addressing the media following the retirement of Mike Schilt. So get some answers, probably not all the answers you want, but get some answers from A.J. Commercial free coming up at the top of the hour. Later today, 5:08, game two of the NLCS from American Family Field in Milwaukee after the Dodgers hold on to win game one last night 2-1. And feels like that would have been a pretty devastating game to give away. after the Blake Snell performance, facing the minimum 24 batters in 8 innings. First pitcher to do that in the postseason since Don Larsen's perfect game.
Just insane.
They gave up one hit, picked him off. That was it. 24 up, 24 down, essentially.
Fisted a single up the middle, like on a changeup on the hand. And then he picks him off. Just crazy.
It was nearly perfection from Blake Snell, but they took him out in the ninth inning with a 2-0 lead.
Yep.
And Roky Sasaki, which you knew had to be coming at some
point. Of course. It happens to
everyone.
Wasn't
just going to dominate as a closer with no struggles at all.
Right.
Ran into some trouble. Gave up the double that put runners at second and third. Sacrifice fly, walk. They took him out of the game. They brought in Blake Trinan. If you're Dave Roberts, I don't care what you tell the media. You can't possibly be that confident in bringing in Blake Trinan in that situation.
No.
You're worried. You're hoping he gets through it. I mean, it's a pitcher. Anyone can get an out. You know, all you need is one out. Just give me one out. And, of course, he walks the guy that he's brought in to face and has to face Bryce Turang. Not the matchup they wanted, but it worked out. Got the strikeout on the pitch just above the zone, and the Dodgers hold on for that 2-1 win. Feels like that gives them control of the series now. Win or lose today.
Yeah, you steal one. You got to steal one on the road.
Dodgers feel like they're coming back for the next three. Hard to see Milwaukee even getting it back to Milwaukee. If they do, they'd probably be down 3-2. Tough situation now for the Brewers.
I think the interesting thing is you know, obviously the bullpen of the Dodgers has been the weakness, the Achilles heel. But when you take a bunch of guys and that were starters and you throw them in and you don't pitch guys like Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates and some of the guys that imploded for you throughout the season, and you settle on Roky Sasaki. So last night, I think if you're the Dodgers and you're Dodger fans, you're slightly concerned because the velo was down and the command was off, right? So that's two things you're pretty important for your elite back end trying to protect a 2-0 lead. And there was a little bit of a crack there. And again, I mean, this is a kid. He's a rookie still. And, you know, had to send him down earlier in the season, kind of stashed him down there, worked with him, came back, lights out. He had 3 days rest, too, so it's not like he was overused or anything like that. So that's just something to monitor. If you're the Brewers, your goal has to be, it has to be, which is probably their goal all of the entire season. We got to grind ABs, and I mean we have to grind. We have to foul pitches off. We need 7-8 pitches per plate appearance. We have to. We have to be the pesky little turds that we are.
Get to that bullpen.
Get to the bullpen. They don't have a ton of options. They got Robleski up. Emmett Sheehan is good. Kasperius is on the roster now. So they have arms down there. How effective will these guys be, you know, in postseason action? It remains to be seen. But that's really your only hope, is to be as pesky and knock those starters out.
I saw, you know, but Blake Snell can't pitch every game.
No, he's going to pitch.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto can pitch. And then
Tyler Glasnow can pitch
really
well.
Can pitch. Shohei Ohtani can pitch. They have no shortage of starting arms that are going to put them in position to win every game of this series. Now, Freddy Peralta, going here in game two for the Brewers. He can be very good.
He can. He got touched up for the 3-run homer, but then settled down.
Remember, the Dodgers lineup is, again, it's the Dodgers lineup, and they can be effective against just about everybody in baseball. So,
Kike Hernandez, another two hits last night. He's unbelievable. Like, I just don't understand it. It's one of those things that should be studied in a lab, how the guy can be the worst hitter, you know, qualified in baseball. And then October turns, and he's like, yeah, not only am I in the lineup, I hit sixth and just drive in runs and get on base.
You held them down all game.
You did.
You still didn't win that one.
That's
so tell
tough.
Me, which game are you going to win now?
You burned through how many arms last night? Like 7, if you're the Brewers? Which they'll all be ready to go today. You know, it's the end of the season. So, but it just doesn't seem like they have enough. It just doesn't seem like they have enough.
They used 6 different pitchers, including their opener, Aaron Ashby, followed by Quinn Priester, Chad Patrick. I mean, they used their arms, and they still couldn't find a way. Then I got 2 hits in the entire game.
2 hits?
I thought the offensive strategy on the other side, did you see? So the Seattle Mariners, you know, 3 home runs, 10 runs. They also struck out 14 times in that game. They struck out 14 times versus just 5 for the Blue Jays. They're making Blue Jays were making contact. The Mariners were putting up runs.
Selling out for
power. Julio Rodriguez went 1-for-4 with a 3-run home run, then struck out 3 times.
Yep.
But you'll take that in the playoffs.
All day!
1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts is a phenomenal day if that one
is a 3-run homer.
Is a 3-run homer.
100%.
100%, man. We only hit 250 yesterday. I'll take it. Drove in 3 runs, got him on the board.
Randy Arozarena, 1-for-4, 3 strikeouts, but scored 2 runs.
Yep. Because
he got hit, and scored both times. You'll take that in the playoffs every single day. Josh Naylor's gotten hot all of a sudden.
I don't know if you know this. To beat the other team, you have to score more runs than them. And the teams that can score runs and score multiple runs on one swing have had great
success. And the Blue Jays did for the first 2 rounds.
They
scored runs at will. But somehow, at some point, it always seems to dry up for every team but one.
Tyler says, so wait, are you now saying RBIs do matter? To walk back your
runs matter.
Oh, okay. How do those guys?
I don't care if no one drives them in. You could score them all on errors.
On wild pitches.
You have to score runs.
If you want to walk that comment back, I'll give you the opportunity
to do it.
RBIs matter. RBIs don't make a player a good player.
Okay.
Tell that to Joe Carter. If you batted
1,000 with no RBIs because no one was on base in front of you, you're a very good player.
Of course. Nobody's ever batted 1,000. No one's ever going
no,
to bat
No, but you'd
1,000.
Still be a very good player.
If you hit 125 and you drove in 160 runs,
I'll take it.
You're also a good player.
You wouldn't drive in 160 runs batting 125, though. You couldn't do that. You have to be a good player to get that many runs batted in and get the opportunities to do so. You wouldn't get that many RBI. There's just no way. I mean, if every hit you hit was a home run, even if you hit 125, I don't think you'd drive in 160. That's what I'm saying. I was just saying. If you're a good player, you're a good player, and the RBIs will come. If you're a bad player, you're a bad player. You won't get that many RBI. It's not the RBI that tells me you're a good player. If you're a good player, you will drive in runs.
Okay.
There are no bad players who drive in tons of runs.
Okay.
And there are no good players who don't drive in runs. Does that explain it better,
what I'm trying to say? Not even a little.
Do you feel like there are bad players who drive in a lot of runs?
I mean, categorizing big league players as good and
not
bad
a good
is,
like overall, he's not a very good offensive player, but man, he drives in a ton of runs when he gets an opportunity.
Well, hang on.
He's a good offensive player. That's why he drives in runs.
RBI leaders.
They're all great offensive players.
I'm saying they're important. You're saying that RBIs don't matter.
I'm saying that they get a lot of RBIs because they have high OPS.
All right, your RBI leaders were Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, Cal Raleigh, Eugenio Suarez, Aaron Judge, Vinny Pasquantino, Riley Green, Junior Caminero, Rafael Devers, and Juan Soto. That's your top 10.
All great players.
Great players, yeah.
That you will find them in the RBI leaders because they're great players.
Kyle Schwarber, what is your point, though? Kyle Schwarber, did he bat? 230,
your goal is to be a great player who hits the ball hard, who hits for power, who hits extra base hits, who gets on base a lot. And because of that, you're going to drive in a lot of runs.
Next time we interview any manager, do you want a guy that drives in a lot of runs? He will say yes. Do you want
Because there are no bad players
do you want
who
an
drive
R-
in
do you
a
want
lot
an
of
RB,
runs.
Do you want an RBI guy? A guy that can get that run in? Doesn't have to be a hit. You know, guy, do you want to? Are there a difference between good baseball players?
That player doesn't exist. The guy who doesn't get a lot of hits but drives in a lot of runs doesn't exist. You've created a fictional player.
Kyle Schwarber, he only hit 240.
He hit for OPS is through the roof because of power. It's the OPS you're looking for.
Well, I agree. I like OPS. I think it's a really good stat.
That's what I'm
But I also,
for.
At the end of the year, I look and go, guy drove in 100 runs? I'll take him.
But if he had a 900 OPS and 1 year only drove in 80, he didn't have a worse year. He just had less opportunities.
Why do you hate RBIs?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will send it out to the A.J. Preller news conference to talk about Mike Schilt's retirement. Do not go anywhere on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.